Well, wouldn't you know it, the CPI print on Friday, June 10th was 8.6%. That's the official inflation rate in the United States. And guess what? The real rate may be quite a bit higher. Some say 15 to 20%. Don't you think you need to be smarter with your money? You need it to grow, not shrink. You need financial freedom, not debt. Start a gold IRA with Noble Gold right now, and you'll be safe. With gold, you shield your gains from taxes, you keep the real value of your money, and you own a global asset, something tangible. And this month, for every cash deal above $20,000, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. You can't go wrong by being smart with the money you have. So give Noble Gold a try. You can call them at 877-646-5347 now. Or to find out more, visit noblegoldinvestments.com.
We have all this still myth of free will, that everything we choose is of our own free will. And this is a myth that served us well for a couple of centuries, but now it's becoming dangerous. You don't have any answer in the Bible what to do when humans are no longer useful to the economy. You need completely new ideologies, completely new religions, and they are likely to emerge from Silicon Valley.
I have heard him many times before in short clips, and to me he comes across as borderline psychiatric patient, and he is living a very dangerous life because he's spitting at all world religions, gods, Muhammad's, and so on. And eventually someone will stand up using his or her free will and kill him, you know. So I'm surprised that he dare to attack religious ideas and religions and religious people as he do.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. I hope you're hanging in there. That was Yuval Noah Harari, the demonic entity from the World Economic Forum. And following him was Professor Ole Johansson, who is an expert on 5G radiation and RF. And in this conversation, we talk about 5G, the plot to control the world. And did you know that even some of the remote controls in your own home may be bathing you in RF? You're not going to want to miss this one, friends. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Is every dip an opportunity? Well, when it comes to Bitcoin, that might be the case. If you look back 10 years, the trajectory is up. My Digital Money is here to give you the facts about crypto. Billionaires celebrate dips. When Bitcoin dipped to 29,000, it was institutional investors and billionaires that were buying. And that's why they're billionaires. Cryptocurrency's volatility is as great as its potential. When you're ready to invest in crypto, My Digital Money is here. Whether you want to open a crypto IRA or trade in cash, My Digital Money is a US-based crypto company that will answer your call, and they won't force you to listen to a 10-minute automated message. My Digital Money will be there to help you every step of the ups and downs. Every dip is an opportunity for gains. You can call them at 833-636-2008 or visit them directly at mydigitalmoney.com. Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's fantastic to have you back. Friends, in the interest of trying to protect everyone listening from the devastating attack against us, not just from vaccines, but from RF radiation, from 5G cell towers. Boy, did you know that we're being attacked by even our own remote controls? More on that in a second. I had no idea. I wanted to get back on the line. Ole Johansson, he's a retired associate professor. He worked at the Karolinska Institute and at the Royal Institute of Technology. I'm delighted to have him back. He's a real expert on 5G and RF. Ole, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Sean. Thank you so much indeed.
Pleasure to have you back. Let me start with a screen share here for the audience. My friend Eric Firematic 8 sent me this. I had no idea. I think this speaks for itself. That is his RF meter. So you're going to see the background radiation, and then you're going to see the batteries put into a remote control for what I think is a fire system, fire remote control. Watch this.
Wow, that's quite a difference, you know.
Yeah, I had no idea. Only that looks exactly like one of the remote controls we have for a sound bar hooked up to one of these LED TVs we have. So I had no idea that remote controls at this point in human history could possibly be emitting so much RF. That's quite startling.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, I did know that they do, but I had no idea it was that much. And as you say, hopefully you point them away from you as much as possible. But unfortunately, in most families, they would be stuck around on the sofa table for hours and hours while you are watching and flipping between channels. So you would be exposed. And then on top of that, you have all the other gadgets in a home or in a workplace or in a place of leisure. So of course, the whole soup of electromagnetic signals, fields, and whatnot is just tremendous. And if you go back, I mean, you know, I'm very old, you know, so if you would go back to when I was a kid in the 50s and 60s, I mean, there were single radio stations. Television here in Sweden came at the end of the 1950s. But of course, there were no remote controls. There were no cell phones, no baby alarms, no wireless smart meters, nothing like that. And now you have a tremendous amount of different gadgets, and many of which people don't even understand they are emitting electromagnetic fields. So it is interesting to have such a simple meter and just walk around either in a home or at the workplace and just see where the different hotspots are. And there could be quite a number of them, I promise you.
Well, just imagine too, if you have, and everybody does, multiple remote controls throughout the home. I have to get one of those RF meters and I have to start testing this stuff for myself, because that's really quite shocking. If you imagine sitting on your couch with your family watching a movie and that little remote control is just zapping everybody for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours all day long, evidently, because you have the batteries in it. I mean, nobody would ever guess that that's the case. So in my view, Oli, this is all being done by design. I don't think that the people in charge of this world don't know what we just saw there. They know it. The problem is we don't know it, but we're starting to find out. We're starting to wake up.
Well, I mean, I had to dispute that. Maybe it is by design. I could agree upon that. And the reason for that is that when I started to investigate the functional impairment called electrohypersensitivity in the early 1980s, I often found myself together with opponents, and they were clinicians, professors, or medical doctors, often at departments of dermatology, that didn't believe me at all. But the odd thing was that when we presented different results from our cellular and molecular investigations, it was as if these people already knew it. And for me, that was very strange, a very strange feeling. It was as if they had all the results tucked away somewhere, and maybe they had already done the same experiments, maybe together with people from the industry, from other departments. I don't know, but it was a very odd feeling. But at the same time, perhaps it's simpler than that, because I guess if we would come home to the people in charge, like politicians, bankers, industrialists, risk capitalists, I guess they have a couch, a TV, and a remote control as well. And another question here, which is also very interesting, is did you or the person that did the video turn on and turn off, like the television, to see if the signal would increase even much further? And that would also be an interesting observation. And finally, I would say to you, Sean, if you want to buy a meter, that's very good, but try to standardize the measurement. And my suggestion is to always have 1 meter between the meter and the object you're going to measure and investigate, because then you can always relate to other international measurements and compare. And I saw in the video, if I should be scientifically critical, the distance between the meter and the remote control was too short. You need to move them apart. And depending on the frequency, I cannot say exactly for that remote control, but it looked to be a little bit too close. And then you can get artificially too high readings. And again, your opponents would then, well, maybe not laugh, but at least try to ridicule you and saying you don't know what you're doing. But if you keep 1 meter, and I tell all the viewers and listeners to do the same, then you can also compare in between. If you do a measurement like in Sweden or in Chicago or in Wisconsin or wherever, you can compare them in between because you have the same reference distance between the meter and the gadget.
Well, let's watch that again then, because I think the takeaway from me, regardless of the distance of the meter from the remote control, is the fact that as soon as the batteries are put in, the meter reacts. So there's definitely RF coming off of this remote.
Of course.
The question is it a dangerous level? Let's watch this again, and I'll turn down the volume. You tell me what you think you're seeing here.
Okay.
Yeah, the remote's probably, 6 inches away?
Yeah, it should be further away, but that's just a detail. And the readings are, of course, in the order of 40,000 microwatts per square meter. And that is according to the international safety regulations, all right. But if you compare it to the natural background, it's a colossal exposure. You know, the natural background is 0.00000 something microwatts per square meter. So it's a biblical and astronomical exposure from that remote control. And actually, the reading you have there, it's about 4 times higher than you would get from a cell phone antenna 100 meters away from you. On average, they would give 10,000 microwatts per square meter. And here you had 40,000. So it's a high reading, a very high reading.
Well, Oli, let me show you this. Give me your thoughts on this. You may not have heard about this if you're in Sweden. I don't know if the mass media and the Mockingbird mainstream horror media is pushing this on you guys there, but they've come up with a new thing here to, in my opinion, account for the deaths we're seeing in the States and around the world. According to one CEO of an Indiana insurance company, deaths of people ages 18 to 64 are up 40% over the past year. He says a 10% rise in deaths would be unprecedented. So now they're pushing this thing called sudden adult death syndrome, SADS. Now, you've probably heard of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, but this is the new thing. All of these young people are dropping dead now on soccer fields. The Foo Fighters drummer dropped dead in his hotel room, very healthy guy otherwise. People are dropping dead in droves, and some of these people, 34-year-old women in their sleep, etc., just dying. And the media says this is to be expected. It's a new phenomenon, not related to COVID, not related to the mRNA jab, but it's the new, get used to it, sudden adult death syndrome. And I guess the question I have, even if we take vaccines out of the conversation, with all of this RF and 5G and everything we're being bathed in, that could be part of the puzzle causing this SADS, causing this sudden adult death syndrome. Do you agree with me there? Is that possible?
It's, you know, anything and everything is possible until proven otherwise. The last 2 years, together with a colleague, I have looked on health statistics here in Sweden. And to make a very long story short, we don't see anything of this SADS. But I have read a few articles about it. But honestly, I'm not an expert on it, so I shouldn't really make any statements. And it is very interesting, so maybe I should look more into it. And again, as we talked about before starting the recording, different countries have different ways of recording in the registers, both illnesses as well as deaths. So it could be very hard to compare Sweden with United States, for instance. Right. We have tried, but we had to stop it, actually, because the way different illnesses were recorded were different from the two countries. And also for the United States, they were different between different states. They did it in different ways. And also various hospitals within the state could record ordinary illnesses like diabetes, psoriasis, and so on in different ways, making it very hard to compare. And I say again, the number of sudden adult deaths here in Sweden has not changed. And also the whole COVID-19 pandemic. Last year, for instance, the number of reported deaths, generally speaking, in Sweden was lower than expected.
That's so interesting. Let me just make an aside here. I don't want to get into the vaccine conversation with you, Ole, on this call, because I want to focus on RF, 5G, et cetera. But let me just say, during the pre-call, you did say to me that Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, all the vaccines are there in Sweden. 25 yeah. million doses were yeah. issued and taken by Swedes, and only 104 reported deaths. All yeah. right, we'll leave this to other researchers to tackle okay. because it makes me believe that you all are getting tamer versions of the vaccine in Sweden. Okay, that's my opinion. Now, let me ask you this. Has this sudden adult death syndrome narrative been pushed on you folks in Sweden, or is this the first you're hearing of it?
No, I heard about it, but not here in Sweden.
Right, okay.
I heard about it from international news media that have presented articles to me, a few of them, but nothing like this in Sweden, no.
Well, let me just say this too. I don't have the Deagle.com website in front of me, but now I'm going to have to go check and see what the projections were for the Depop agenda in Sweden, because the Deagle.com website had projected the population in the United States plummeting from 330 million to about 100 million people by 2025 only. So now I got to see what the projection was for Sweden. Maybe no deaths expected. Maybe Sweden is one of those grandfathered countries protected by the powers that ought not be. All right, let me ask you something though. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say that you have to send me this because this sounds extremely interesting. And there could be differences, genetic differences, for instance. And don't forget
that. Oh, that's right. No, there are genetic differences. That is true.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. And they could manifest themselves in differences in sensitivity to various like vaccines and so on. But don't also forget that many Swedes, they love to eat these surströmming, which is rotten, fermented, very smelly fish. So maybe we are stronger here, you know.
Well, you sparked a thought. And I'm going to very loosely paraphrase, I don't have it in front of me, but Dr. Lee Merritt was in a conversation. I featured this in an interview or a video maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
And she was recounting her research about the mRNA vaccines, testing on rats and all sorts of stuff. I'm very loosely paraphrasing. She said it was very interesting to find out that because of genetic differences, there were certain groups that seemed to be more harmed by the mRNA experimental vaccine.
Yeah.
And at the end, she says, guess which two groups appeared to be almost entirely unaffected? The Sweet. Amish? The Amish and Ashkenazi Jews. You can't make this stuff up. That was Dr. Lee Merritt. I should try to find the clip. Can I ask you something about electrohypersensitivity? What is that in your definition? Because I think it means some people are more affected by this stuff, RF, and can feel it, and it affects their lives negatively, some more than others. And I think my friend Eric, Firemedic 8, and his family are electrohypersensitive. So what accounts for that? How come some people seem to be devastated by this stuff and others maybe not so much affected?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. And we have tried to get the funding to investigate exactly that, depending on, for instance, genetic factors, differences in immune competence and so on. And maybe it could be also that your friend Eric and other electron hypersensitive people, I view them nowadays as being the only normal human beings because they have a normal avoidance reaction to a very toxic environment with, as I said before, colossal exposures with truly artificial electromagnetic fields. Whereas people like myself, I am probably electrohyposensitive. I don't feel anything. I don't sense that anything is wrong. And therefore, I still sit like now with my laptop being fully exposed. And you mentioned the remote controls before and a lot of other gadgets. I'm constantly exposed to them and I don't feel anything. Whereas the electrohypersensitive people, being the new normal, I would call them, they do react. And in their avoidance reaction, what they do is that they move away, either through distance or by shielding, they try to shield themselves or the gadgets they use. I look upon that as a very normal way of handling a toxic environment. And as you know, there are a lot of other such situations, and therefore that was the reason why the coal miners, like in Wales and United States and so on, they would use different birds, and the most famous are the yellow canary birds that were very sensitive to increase in carbon dioxide and decrease in oxygen. And when they fell over, you know, then the miners knew now it's time to get out of the mine before it's too late. And maybe we should be very thankful to electrohypersensitive, not maybe, we should be thankful to the electrohypersensitive people, because they act as some kind of a biological sensor, sounding the alarm, really, you know.
Yeah, the canary in the coal mine.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let me do another screen share. And in a minute, I want to play a clip from Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum, his right-hand man, Yuval Noah Harari. And I want your reaction to that clip as it relates to 5G, as it relates to tracking and tracing people. They already can do that through our smartphones. They know where we are as long as the smartphones are in our pockets.
And therefore, people maybe should do as I have done my whole life. I have never, ever owned a cell phone.
Oh, brilliant.
So Klaus Schwab and his friends, they cannot at least track me. But since I carry no weight or importance, maybe don't they give a toss, you know.
No, that's brilliant. And a lot of people, there's a trend right now in this country, perhaps around the world, but I think in the United States, a trend of people moving back to dumb phones. You know, the flip phones, and there's basic phones. People don't want all this tracking and tracing. Certainly don't want the radiation. Yeah.
But unfortunately, of course, even a dumb phone like an old Nokia or a flip phone, you know, they
still has radiation.
Still. So if they don't want to be tracked down, I still suggest that they should stop having one altogether. And I mean, as I said, I mean, I have never, ever owned one. And it has still made me a professor and a scientist, and I'm allowed to be interviewed by you, which is a great honor. So you can have a life also without these gadgets, you know.
Oh, you're funny. The honor's mine. All right. I want to play this clip. I shot this myself, and I want your reaction. I don't know if this is happening in Sweden, but it's happening all over the United States. I'll let the video speak for itself.
Okay.
And then you tell us what you think of this. This is a grade school not far from where I live. Do you see that, Oli?
Yes, I do.
These things have been popping up near schools all over the country. And they started popping up under the cover of COVID when everybody was locked down. These towers started going up. You tell me, what sense does it make to put these things next to school children?
Well, I could tell you from a sort of radiation technology point of view, because if the base stations are close to the handheld gadgets, the latter ones, they will downplay their output power, so the kids will be less irradiated. But of course, even so, children, staff, and so on, regardless of what kind of source we are talking about, are irradiated at colossal levels. But bringing the base station closer will downgrade the handheld gadget. And, you know, practically your bodily exposure is mostly from the handheld gadgets, not so much from distant base stations. However, I think that's not the reason why they have put them there, because it's free space. Schools often have free space for various reasons, close to or even on the school where they can put base stations, antenna towers like this. It's not so much done in Sweden. And that's probably because Sweden has had a very excellent coverage many years ago. So even when they transform from 2G to 3G, the third generation to the fourth generation, and now to the fifth generation, the infrastructure is already there.
Yeah, well, let me point out too that Fiberbond Corporation, this is building number 42,928.
Yeah.
I wonder if that means that there aren't at least 42,928 such towers and buildings sprinkled all over the country. And one would then guess that there's far more than 42,928.
Yeah, I'm sure there is a lot more, but that's just a mere guess, because probably there are a lot of different companies putting these up. And also to cover the United States, wow, then you probably would need, and now I'm completely guessing, but hundreds of millions of base stations. And therefore, often your own cell phone is used as a base station as well. And the messages and so on is piggybacked upon it, relayed to another cell phone, and you don't know it, you don't see it, but it's used as an intermediate cell tower, you can call it. So here in Sweden, for the Internet of Things, which is connected very much to 5G, it has been calculated, and Sweden is a small country compared to United States, you know, but here it has been calculated that we are talking about eventually maybe 100 million or more base stations for 5G. And especially if we should transfer traffic to autonomous vehicles, trains, buses, lorries, taxis, farming equipment, aircrafts, ships, and so on. You need quite a number of base stations, yes.
Friends, thanks so much for tuning in to SGT Report. This is a good time for a quick word about our sponsor. Well, wouldn't you know it, the CPI print on Friday, June 10th was 8.6%. That's the official inflation rate in the United States. And guess what? The real rate may be quite a bit higher. Some say 15 to 20%. Don't you think you need to be smarter with your money? You need it to grow, not shrink. You need financial freedom, not debt. Start a gold IRA with Noble Gold right now, and you'll be safe. And this month, for every cash deal above $20,000, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. You can't go wrong by being smart with the money you have. So give Noble Gold a try. You can call them at 877-646-5347 now. Or to find out more, visit noblegoldinvestments.com. But when I played that clip, that video in a previous interview, somebody in the comments section said, well, that's just a 4G tower. And that may be true. But my question is, and we know that 5G can be weaponized. Now, my attorney friend, Todd Callender, always likes to point out that 5G operates in the 60 hertz range, which is very dangerous. And so here's my question. Why 5G? My phone works perfect with 4G. I can watch movies on my phone. I can call up YouTube videos on my phone. Why are they pushing 5G? Why did Tom Wheeler at the FCC, the former chairman of the FCC in the United States, why was he foaming at the mouth to fast track 5G? And in his own words, he said, we don't need to wait for the studies. We don't need to wait for the safety studies. Far better to turn innovators loose so innovators can innovate. We're talking about billions of dollars on the line here. Tom Wheeler was figuratively foaming at the mouth to fast track 5G, which now they've done. Why, yeah. Ole? Why? To me, it's a very sinister plan, but that's just where my brain tends to go.
Well, let's go back first and say, yes, the tower we saw most likely could be a 4G tower. I agree upon that. And here in Sweden, the 5G systems use the same towers as for 4G. It's the same physical towers that are used. And therefore, you cannot see which is which. By measurement, you can see what kind of frequencies that are used. Yes, at least in Sweden, and I know a lot of other countries, we still only use here 800 megahertz or 3.5 gigahertz for 5G. The 60 gigahertz and the 120 gigahertz are still on the, what should we say, table, the dream table, you know, like a project for the future. And of course, you have already answered your own question. All these developments of society is made both because customers want to have more, better, faster, more, better, faster. If you ask the ordinary citizens in Sweden, they want more, better, faster. That's the thing, you know. And then there are smart risk capitalist companies, politicians and so on, including Tom Wheeler, that sees a business opportunity. So it's run by money, 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 greed, profit, greed, profit. That's it. I don't see any sinister plan yet. But I know, I'm a classical party pooper, you know. So maybe I'm just naive and blind, but I don't see it yet.
Well, let me point it out for you, my friend. And this clip I'm about to play isn't necessarily 5G related, but you mentioned the Internet of Things. Yeah. I don't think it's the people who want faster, faster, faster when they already have everything they need on their little slave phone. If you've got an Apple iPhone, you got everything you need with 4G. It works just fine. The system is pushing 5G because the system, the World Economic Forum, the Davos elite, the New World Order, they hunger to track and trace absolutely everything on the planet, including the clothes you wear and the food you eat. And if you think I'm overstating it, here's Yuval Noah Harari, Klaus Schwab's right hand. Again, Fire Medic 8's channel featured this clip, but I think it's with credit to Rebel News. Let's listen to this demon spawn in his own words, Oli, and you tell me if there's not something sinister going on here with the Davos elite in the World Economic Forum.
Science is not really about truth. It's about power.
Well, I think maybe in a couple of decades, when people look back, the thing they will remember from the COVID crisis is this is the moment when everything went digital. And if this was the moment when everything became monitored, that we agreed to be surveyed all the time, not just in authoritarian regimes, but even in democracies. And maybe most importantly at all, this was the moment when surveillance started going under the skin. Because really, we haven't seen anything yet. And I think the big process that's happening right now in the world is hacking human beings, the ability to hack humans, to understand deeply what's happening within you, what makes you go. And for that, the most important data is not what you read and who you meet and what you buy, it's what's happening inside your body. So we had these two big revolutions, the computer science revolution or the infotech revolution and the revolution in the biological sciences. And they are still separate, but they are about to merge. They are merging around, I would say, the biometric sensor. And having the ability to really monitor people under the skin, this is the biggest game changer of all.
I don't think that the question of, I mean, is very interesting or very central. It has been central in Western civilization because of some kind of basically theological mistake made thousands of years ago. But it's a misunderstanding of the human condition.
I'm going to pause it there. Oli, just so you know, he's talking about free will.
Yeah.
He said that's a theological mistake based on the fact that people believe there's a God. That's literally what he said in past interviews. I'll keep playing this. He's a hardcore atheist. He thinks God is a fairy tale.
We have all this still myth of free will, that everything we choose is of our own free will. And this is a myth that served us well for a couple of centuries, but now it's becoming dangerous.
You don't have any answer in the Bible what to do when humans are no longer useful to the economy. You need completely new ideologies, completely new religions, and they are likely to emerge from Silicon Valley or from Bangalore and not from the Middle East. And they are likely to give people visions based on technology.
Let me pause it there. Did you hear what he said there?
Yes,
we're going to need new religions for the useless eaters, for the people who are useless. And those religions will come out of Silicon Valley. This is all extremely sinister, Oli.
Everything that the old religions promised, happiness and justice and even eternal life, but here on earth with the help of technology and not after death with the help of some supernatural being.
I mean, all this story about Jesus rising from the dead and being the Son of God, this is fake news.
Diplomatically put it like this, that I have heard him many times before in short clips, and to me he comes across as borderline psychiatric patient, and he is living a very dangerous life because he's spitting at all world religions, gods, Muhammad's, and so on. And eventually someone will stand up using his or her free will and kill him, you know. So I am surprised that he dare to attack religious ideas and religions and religious people as he do, and as he does. And I hope nothing sinister will happen to him. At the same time, it's very important to remember that it's up to us with our free will, which is not a mistake by any ancient religious decision, but using our free will to either accept what he is pointing to and sort of follow as the classical sheeples, follow him as the shepherd, or just stand up and say, no way, man. And then I would like to add, because we touched upon the Internet of Things, which is within his area of control and surveillance systems. But I often go to a town in Finland called Ulio or Uleåborg in Swedish. And they have a lot of excellent industries, especially within the field of measurements of electromagnetic fields, and also within the area of the Internet of Things. A number of hubs are located, or they were located, because many people there tells me that, well, this Internet of Things is a smashing techno-nerd future, but very, very, very few consumers are interested. And after all, this man, he is not running the world. What runs the world is, again, profit, greed, money, business, that kind of issues, together, of course, with religion, and idea cracking and so on. Mainly it's about money, and very, very, very small markets are of no interest. And therefore, they told me quite early, already 2017, 2018, that they felt that the Internet of Things will not fly, not even autonomous vehicles and so on, because when, for instance, Swedes were interviewed, if they would be happy of letting a computer steer their car, 100% said, no way, I want to drive the car myself. So it boils down to what we accept. If we accept this man, okay, then we are the sheeples. If we are grown up adults with a free will, then we say, no, thank you.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, they need us to comply.
Yeah.
If exactly. They are to get away with this anti-human agenda.
And could I stop you for a second and just say, because I think the last years, especially with this COVID-19 pandemic and so on, vaccines, vaccinations and so on, it has been extremely interesting. I can only really relate to Sweden, but it's disturbingly often ordinary lay persons, they ask simple, straightforward questions like, is this vaccine really safe for me and my family? And they don't get any answers, you know. And that disturbs me, because as a scientist, my whole life is based upon questions and answering them, not questions and then looking away, you know. And it disturbs me enormously to see politicians, civil servants, even experts, medical doctors, even a few scientists, not even trying to answer people's very important questions. And that's new to me, I would say. In Sweden, I'm used to, if you ask someone, then they will answer. And it's very odd to see this. And I'm afraid that if I should walk up even to our prime minister and ask for the time, she would just look away and walk away. So, yeah. No, it's yeah. New.
No, it's shocking.
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking, you know.
It is shocking. But listen to this. Listen to this. In this country, the FDA conspired with Pfizer to try to bury all of the data about the vaccine, with thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of pages about the mRNA vaccine being quite dangerous. And they knew it and fast-tracked it anyway.
Yeah.
The FDA conspired with Pfizer to try to cover those documents up. They wanted them put in a closet for 75 years, and a federal judge ordered the release of those documents. And now those documents are coming out, and we know that there is premeditated murder involved in this plan because Pfizer knew this thing would harm people. So did the FDA. Let me show you this slide, and then I want to get back to what you said about Yuval Noah Harari, because what you said is so important. But look at this slide. Oli, this slide is taken from a deck of an FDA presentation where the safety surveillance of COVID-19 vaccines draft working list of possible adverse event outcomes included Guillain-Barré, myocarditis, pericarditis, stroke. Wow. Look at the top right, death.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing. So again, I always come back to the sinister plan of the Davos elite. And Yuval Noah Harari, I think what you said about him is absolutely 100% spot on. It's shocking to hear him take these positions because the rest of the world, right-thinking people, are aligned against those viewpoints because it's clear that he detests humanity. He detests us.
Well, I mean, to me, if I wouldn't know anything about the clip, I would sense that he is a representative of some very sinister form of neo-Nazism or something like that. And he wants to kill certain groups of people. And he seems to enjoy it as well. And I think one thing that is important here is that we should all stop to call them an elite. They are no more elite than my neighbor here. And she is handicapped and sits in a wheelchair, you know.
Yeah, they're just super rich.
Yeah, they are super rich, and that we also need to stop. The aggregation of such enormous wealth, they should not be able to buy the future for themselves and for others. And still, I come back also to the very important slide you showed me, because if we then go back to Sweden, as I said before, we don't see anything more or less of this. A corresponding slide here would nearly be empty, you know. There would be some headaches and some sore skin around the injection site and that kind of things, but nothing more.
Yeah, that's shocking when you told me that. And we're going to need other researchers to dig into that. How does Sweden compare with other countries that have been devastated by this thing? Countries including Israel, by the way. We're seeing massive spikes in the whole country is pretty much quote unquote vaccinated, but where are the COVID breakouts occurring again? These new cases, these emerging cases, places like Israel and places like the United States to some degree.
And didn't also Israel have quite an appalling number of deaths the 2-3 last years?
Yeah, I believe so. In the VAERS reporting database in the United States, I think at this point is up to 28,000 to 30,000 reported deaths. And that's just a fraction of the totals because most of the deaths and injuries never get reported to VAERS.
So,
when I say the elite, the Davos crowd, sadly, what I'm basically referring to is an anti-human group of people, people that detest us, who all think like Yuval Noah Harari does.
Yeah.
World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, they say by 2030, United Nations Agenda 2030, by 2030, you'll own nothing and be happy. Well, that's because they're literally buying everything up. And I mean everything. You want to see something startling? Let me show you guys this. Everybody needs to go watch this. I posted this on my site, thephaser.com, and it's my friend Max Egan's latest. This is terrifying. I wrote Aladdin and the Hidden Game of World War III. Let me click on this. Maybe we can watch just the beginning of this clip.
Yeah.
Oli, you've heard of BlackRock, correct?
Yes, I do. Yeah, indeed. Yes. And Vanguard.
Yep. Well, Larry Fink, who heads up BlackRock, came up with this AI computer system, Aladdin, which is far better at trading than human beings. And via Aladdin, over the past decade, over the past two decades, they've been able to amass a multi-trillion dollar fortune. And if it keeps going the way it seems to be going, pretty soon they'll own everything. Listen to this.
What if I told you there is a robot that controls more wealth than any country on Earth? A robot so powerful that in the last 10 years, it has quietly created the biggest company in the world. This is the story of a robot called Aladdin. It's Wall Street's best kept secret, and it's gobbling up every asset class across every industry. Aladdin now controls $21 trillion of our global economy. To put that in perspective, that's more than the $20 trillion GDP of the US or the $15 trillion GDP of the entire European Union. The New Statesman wrote, the total physical cash of all 7 billion people and every company, bank vault, wallet, and piggy bank in the world is around $5 trillion. Aladdin has grown into a system responsible for more than four times the value of all the money in the world. This one robot directs the actions of the US Federal Reserve, almost every major bank and investment fund on Wall Street, and over 17,000 traders. It controls half of all ETFs, 17% of the bond market, 10% of the global stock market, and carries out a quarter of a million trades every day and billions of forecasts every week. Year after year, it hoovers up trillions of data points on every market, every company, every asset, and now even each of us, what we buy, sell, and say, so that it knows what to buy and what to sell far better than any human being. Every major bank, company, and investment fund has come to rely on Aladdin and its all-powerful AI and algorithms to beat the market. And if they didn't, they've collapsed and failed in Aladdin's wake. And you know what the craziest part of this story is? This robot is just getting started. So where did Aladdin come from and how did it get so powerful? Aladdin is the brainchild of Larry Fink, the founder of BlackRock, and its total dominance has made his company the biggest shadow bank in the world and the most powerful company on earth. Aladdin, which stands for Asset, Liability, and Debt Derivative Investment Network. In its first 10 years, Aladdin was fed information about every asset, price movement, and risk variable in the global bond market, Larry's specialty. And in 1999, when Aladdin turned 11, Aladdin was getting so intelligent at picking losers and winners that Larry began selling access to his data to other Wall Street firms. That same year, he took BlackRock public on the New York Stock Exchange. Straight after the IPO, the dot-com bust burst, pushing a wall of money from the stock market to bonds, which Aladdin had become the undisputed world champion in. Within years, BlackRock had become a trillion-dollar company. And as money started shifting back to shares, what did Larry do? He bought the asset management arm of Merrill Lynch, which was focused on shares. So the gift for Aladdin's 18th birthday, all the data points for the entire stock market. And suddenly Aladdin had a new playground, analyzing every stock trade and risk factor for every company on the stock market. As a result, today BlackRock, together with his two closest rivals, Vanguard and State Street, both of which also rely on Aladdin's mountain of knowledge, have become the biggest shareholders of over 40% of all public listed companies in America. 2008, the global financial crisis hits, and before Aladdin turns 21 years old, is caught on by every Wall Street bank and Timothy Geithner, the head of the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury. As soon as Lehman Brothers collapsed and the Wall Street meltdown began, the U.S. government came calling to save the next collapsing bank, Bear Stearns. It was Aladdin who decided which assets to keep and which to leave in the $30 billion rescue package. And few people know it was a robot that saved America from disaster. With that first success, the Fed, US government, and now even European and Japanese central banks began relying on Aladdin to make the calls on where the $2.5 trillion of new money they printed should go. The majority of it, bonds and funding to prop up the mortgage companies and banks. But wait, aren't these exactly the assets that Aladdin and BlackRock already were invested in? Exactly. The assets controlled by Aladdin rapidly grew to $11 trillion by 2013. In the last decade, Aladdin has gone from the leader to the dominator of all financial markets. With BlackRock's Barclays acquisition, it got iShares, Barclays Exchange Traded Funds Units, or ETFs. And with that, Aladdin moved from dominator of bonds and equities to dominator of ETFs, just as all the biggest investors shifted from mutual funds to ETFs. And that's when, in 2017, everything changed. On Aladdin's 29th birthday, Larry launched a top secret project at BlackRock, codenamed Monarch. It led to the firing of his fund managers and replacing their funds with Aladdin's funds. The robot was now eliminating humans from the equation altogether. And as a result, today, over 70% of all trades on US stock markets are decided by robots, with Aladdin leading the way. These trades are completed from beginning to end without a human involved in high-frequency trading far faster than a human can execute. Now, in the last 3 years, as Aladdin hit $20 trillion in assets, incredibly, it has begun to consume and control at an even faster rate. First, in 2020, as Aladdin turned 32 years old, the US government and Federal Reserve again came calling as the pandemic hit. Aladdin was again the one to guide the nation in what was now $4 trillion of newly printed money. Where did the money go this time? Inexplicably, for the first time, the Fed began buying ETFs in 2020. And then Aladdin revealed its endgame. Recently, BlackRock acquired eFront, which collects data on the things that you and I own, including private equity and real estate. And since then, Aladdin has consumed eFront's data on the entire global real estate market. And over the last 2 years, BlackRock and other funds using Aladdin's data have begun buying up single family homes where they can afford to outbid the rest of us as they have unlimited financing at hyper low interest rates. The result is home prices rising by 20% over the last 2 years and pushing now even big players like Zillow out of the market.
That's the point I wanted to get to. It should give everyone goosebumps. It's absolutely terrifying. Because now they're coming after the single family homes, which they want to turn into rentals. And it all ties back to this Davos group of criminals who in the future say, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, Oli. They're going to eat up the entire world.
I think this is appalling to watch, you know, and I had heard a little bit about it before, but see it like this is shocking, really. And I hope there are adults out there that will react in due time and just put an end to these atrocities, you know, because otherwise they will completely kill mankind.
If we could get back to 5G as we round out the conversation, could you explain to me what you think should be done about 5G? If the FCC and Tom Wheeler fast-tracked it, and if Verizon and AT&T are just putting up towers under the cover of COVID, what should be done about this? And is my friend Todd Callender correct when he says 5G operates in that 60, or it can operate in that 60 hertz range, which separates nitrogen from oxygen? This thing can be used as a weapon. What should we, the people, do about it, Oli?
That's a very good question. I would say, don't do like I have done, because I have relied naively on my rights as a human being. I have written to governments, parliaments, prime ministers, to civil servants, to various departments, to House of Representatives, to Senates. I have written to companies, banks, to journalists, reporters, and so on. And it hasn't really made anything different. This is like a giant train rushing ahead in the night. And it has already kind of crushed me and others. And I still continue writing to everything, local politicians, to experts, to reporters, to journalists, to alternative media representatives, trying to get the message across. But very few are listening and even fewer are reacting. So honestly, Sean, I don't have a clue. And here in Sweden, here in Stockholm, we even some years ago started like a think tank collecting good people. And on the agenda were only two questions. How should we reach out to people in power? And how should we reach out to the general population, the general citizens? And after several years, we failed. We didn't reach out to them. And we don't know what to do, really. And I don't know. And sometimes, you know, I feel, since I don't have any children of my own, it kind of feels good. Because when I see here in Stockholm, you know, in buses, trams, underground parks and so on, small kids, what have we been giving them? Should they own nothing, be happy? Should they be infested with GMOs, other chemicals, physical irradiation? I don't know. It's a very tough question.
I worry all the time about what kind of future my kids are going to have. No, you're absolutely, we all do. Yeah. At least those of us who are awake.
Yeah. And, you know, I hope people that are listening now and looking at this program that they will stand up and start like the classical mosquito, you know, circling around the elephant and eventually get the elephant to do something, because we need to get the people in power to understand that what they have cooked up is not the will of the general population. Definitely not.
Well, I want people to understand that we have just scratched the surface in this conversation, Oli, and we're going to have to get you back on. I'll show people this bit of an outline Oli sent me of things we haven't even talked about yet.
Well,
see,
no,
Oli's a researcher, guys, and I'm going to tell you how you can help fund his research and support him in a second. But look at all those things we haven't even talked about. A double blind test of electro hypersensitive people using cell phones, open tests of normal healthy volunteers using household TV sets and ordinary home computers. Why did it take 6 years to publish those results, which are probably pretty telling about the harm those things can do? The connection of FM radio and malignant melanoma, studies by Orhan Halberg and Oli Johansson. Ole, we're going to have to get you back on to talk about these specific things because we've just scratched the surface in this conversation.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you. You know that.
Well, the honor's all mine, and I super do appreciate you. Let me do a screen share, guys. I will leave a link below to the fundraiser to support Ole Johansson's ongoing research in these areas. He's trying to get the word out. He's trying to help humanity, unlike Yuval Noah Harari and Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and all of these demonic people that go to Davos and rub elbows. Again, I think Ole's right. You're right. They're not elite. They're just billionaires. They're super rich, and they don't like us. They don't want us on this planet.
Exactly. And could I just add to the fundraiser, if someone thinks your neighbor is going to pay, don't trust that. Don't rely upon it. Do it yourself. And also, even if you only can add like $1 per year, that's more than nothing. So please, if you can, do support our research because we need it. And we have some focal points, especially the impact of 3, 4, 5G on the immune system, on pollinators like honeybees and bumblebees, on sperm cells and fertility. And finally, maybe the most important, impacts on bacteria. So please.
Very good. Ole, I really do appreciate you, man. Let's get you scheduled again. We'll get you back on. We'll dig in deeper and we'll talk about some of these studies and the results, which I think people will find shocking. We're just being bathed. I mean, it's a multifaceted attack against humanity. In my view, 5G is just one of the components. We've seen in this, as we've seen in this interview, even remote controls are a problem, which I had no idea about. Indeed. All right, guys, our guest has been Ole Johansson. Ole, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And friends, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in, especially my subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv. The other thing is, guys, as you know, inflation is out of control. The official inflation print, the CPI print the other day was 8.6%. We know it's closer to 12 to 15, perhaps even 20%. So you do need to prepare. And I never mentioned this, but I'm going to mention it now. Prepare with sgt.com. I'll leave a link below. And you can get emergency storable foods, 20 plus year shelf life, and free shipping. I think people should prepare for food shortages, which are already starting to manifest themselves. Prepare while you can. I'll leave the link below and the link below for Ole's fundraiser. And thank you so much, friends. Every single day for free, you can visit us directly for real news, the antidote to corporate propaganda and mockingbird mainstream media lies at sgtreport.com. May God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
The point is that the risks of taking it far outweigh the so-called benefits of taking it. Doesn't stop the so-called virus, doesn't stop transmission. It actually makes you more susceptible. You have to take more and more and more of this poison into your system. All of that without proper testing to know the consequences, the long-term consequences. The risk outweighs the benefit.